The bag is packed with the sticks. The drinks are cold. And the scorecard's ready to go. Time to hit the links.
Before the retirement announcement, she wasn't playing that well.
The monkey's off her back. She's got nothing to lose.
Yeah, at all. So she ends up making the team. I just love the depth of this team.
This is On the Tee, presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips.
The idea of it was a potential win for the fans, but it's hard without actually seeing anything yet.
And the only win there, if you're a golf fan, is more Tiger, right?
Yeah.
That's the win.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue. Alongside Bally Sports' Stephen Watson, here's Gabe Neitzel.
Post-Solheim Cup edition of On the Tee, Gabe Neitzel, Stephen Watson, and...
USA.
We did it.
Dominated.
We did it.
Dominated. Day one, right away.
About
damn time. Came out, jumped up to a big lead on day one, 6-2. And just cruised the rest of the way. Team USA winning the Solheim Cup for the first time since 2017, by the way. 15.5, 12.5 ends up being the final. It was a really fun competition. I hope you had an opportunity to watch if you're a fan of the Ryder Cup. It's again, the same thing, just on the women's side. And it was a fantastic event. Doesn't mean there weren't things that didn't go right, mostly on site. But if you were just at home watching it, it was so much fun to watch, Stephen.
Yeah, beautiful golf course, too. I mean, it was a lot of places where you could shoot high numbers and also get birdies. It wasn't a par fest like you'll see at a lot of really tough golf courses. It really felt like the right setting, just like Whistling Straits was for the men. A golf course that's a huge risk-reward, gettable. You can make a lot of birdies. You can make a lot of really low numbers. And you can also, with one bad shot, make a six pretty quickly. In match play settings, Robert Trent Jones Golf Club was a great setting.
Oh,
a lot of places for people to get wet, and you know, you saw some really good golf shots get rewarded on that course.
Well, that's all you're looking for in match play golf courses, and since there is no... And the women have a match play event still on their calendar, but on the men's side, they got rid of the match play. And the only thing we typically get now are these team competitions, Solheim Cup, Ryder Cup, President's Cup, and the best venues for those are risk-reward.
Yeah.
All right. This may be a tough shot, but it's only one hole. Go ahead. Go try to pull it off. And then you can see the skill of the best players in the world. And when they pull off those shots, they get rewarded. If not, they lose the hole and just kind of pick up and go on. And, yeah, I thought that this golf course was perfect for this. Now, again, it was disappointing that the atmosphere on Friday, really all day, was bad because the LPGA was not, for whatever reason, despite marketing it for a very long time, not prepared for the amount of people who showed up.
Kind of
so that was
that happens.
Yeah,
right?
that's just kind of. But it also kind of makes you. It doesn't make you feel good that hey, look at the women can screw it up just as bad as the men, but it really doesn't. It just makes you, as a golf fan, go, where is any leadership anywhere within the game?
Yeah.
They eventually got it right, and I think the crowds were better for Saturday and for Sunday. But if you. When you have Beth Ann Nichols, who is, if you're not familiar, she is like the voice of women's golf, you know, has been writing about golf forever, appears on Golf Channel for a lot of their stuff. When she is writing scathing columns about you as the biggest champion for the women's game, you know you messed up.
Yeah, yeah. That was unfortunate. I mean, that event, more than any, is about the fans. And the fact that they couldn't get it right with admissions and, you know, getting people inside the gates. And those are such basic parts of hosting tournaments that you feel like for an event that's hosted every 2 years and it's done up as the biggest event in women's golf, very basic things got done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of leaves you mind-boggled when you think about the ability for this course has been waiting to host this event for five, maybe, you know, I just think about when Whistling or Aaron has hosted any of these big events, like 5+ years you're preparing for that weekend.
Well, and it just, and this was pointed out in Beth Ann's column, like the LPGA had a couple events. There is a movement going on within women's sports. You see it in the WNBA. You saw it in women's college basketball, obviously with the Olympics and the amount of great women athletes that are out there.
Yeah.
And the LPGA had really two big events, or not one event, and two just big-time opportunities to step up to the plate. They failed in both. Nelly Korda earlier this year was on fire. She won, what was it, five, six events in a row, whatever it was.
Yeah.
They kind of failed to make a big... That's a huge deal. Somebody wins that many times in a row in the world of professional golf. Like, that should be celebrated more than it was.
Yeah, unfortunately, it happened at the exact same time as Scotty was on his run. And I feel like he got, and she got overshadowed because of it. And I'm not saying one is right or wrong. It's unfortunate that the two best golfers in the world, both Americans, went on historic runs that this game hasn't seen in a long time.
But it just kind of seemed like the LPGA went, oh, man, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to do something, instead of trying to get her out there and market it and make this thing bigger, and then they have this opportunity at the Solheim Cup and they kind of fall flat with the way that, you know, fans could not get into the event on Friday.
But I will say this about the Solheim Cup. What was refreshing for me as a golf fan was to actually see the stars take over the story of that event. It was Nelly. It was Rose. It was Charlie Hull. Like the most marketable, biggest names in the sport. Even Lexi Thompson, who didn't play well in the event, still had some nice moments in there for her final, you know, event for Team USA. That is going to be my takeaway from this Solheim Cup, was the people I want to see play well and entertain me lived up to that. And then some. I mean, seeing Rose go 4-0. In a Solheim Cup?
It wasn't just 4-0. It was one of the most dominant performances in American team golf. I believe she won 28 holes and lost 8.
If anybody plays match play, that's absurd. We're talking wins versus losses.
Yes,
no,
on
not
holes.
Pushes.
Not pushes. So she won 28.
She won 28 holes.
Yeah, in her four matches, she won 28 holes and lost 8.
Wow.
Yeah. So it wasn't just
that. That's absurd.
It's not that just Rose stepped up and was really good. She dominated the event.
Yeah.
Like, to walk away, again, all you have to do, you know, realistically, you could end up plus 4 and end up 4-0. Oh, when four matches, one up or whatever, however it comes out. She was plus 20. 20.
It's unbelievable.
And then, I mean, you only play 18 holes.
That's ridiculous numbers right there from Rose.
So
and Rose, the moment got a little too big for her in Spain in the last Solheim Cup. You know, she was probably overmarketed a little bit and set up some unfair expectations for her at that point in her career. And she comes back and has that type of performance. That's how you grow the game. That's how you get fans behind the LPGA. And, you know, USA Golf is... It's got some fire to it right now. I mean, Lauren Coughlin, like, her story's incredible, too. The late-season surges that she's had. And
I think she started the year at... She was above 100. I want to say specifically it was, like, 106.
Yeah.
In the world rankings, in the Rolex world rankings on the women's
side. And she goes 3-0-1 at her first Solheim Cup in her home state of Virginia. I mean, we talked about it going in. Like, this event had a lot of great storylines coming in. And USA delivered on all of them.
Yeah, no, they stepped up, and they did. They had, again, hadn't won since 2017. And the fun part about the Solheim Cup, like right now on the men's side for the Ryder Cup, it just seems like the home team dominates every time. And I think Team USA had a little bit of influence, not as much influence as the men do, you know, in terms of a home-home in the Ryder Cup, but they had a little bit of influence. The previous three Ryder Cups had been decided by 3 points.
Combined.
Europe won by a point in 2019. They won by 2 points, 15-13 in 2021, and then they tied in 2023.
Yeah, don't get me going on the tie.
Yeah, we don't have to. I understand. That got you fired up last week. But that just, again, that's how good this competition has been. Like, it's been tight, whereas on the men's side, you're kind of hoping for these big rallies. And, I mean, Team USA, again, jumped out to the 6-2 lead after day one, winning the first two sessions 3-1, 3-1, and just kind of cruised the rest of the way. But that's how good this has been. Like, on the men's side, they've been, let's face it, as fun as Whistling Straits was, it's a little boring. Because Team USA just dominated. Absolutely dominated. In terms of a competition standpoint, like, they got rocked I mean, we wanted, you know, the hat gate and all that, trying to make it more interesting, but they got rocked. They got dominated, not as bad as we rocked the Europeans here at Whistling Straits. They got dominated overseas. Yeah. And that's the way it's just kind of gone, because Team USA dominated when it was in Minnesota a number of years ago. Then they go to France and they get dominated. Then they come back here, Team USA dominates. Then they go to Europe and they dominate. It's just, as much as I love that event, I want it to be more about the golf, the way that the Solheim Cup has been.
And I do think that on the men's side, the home field or home course advantage is taken to another level versus Solheim because of the fans. And to go back to the point of how you opened the show, like, that was a miss to not have the fans be the story on Friday in a positive way. Instead, them not being able to get into the gates and all the issues they had, like, that became...
But I also heard some people talking about
the black cloud.
The Solheim Cup right now is still a celebration of golf. Yes, you want your home country to win, but it's not as bad. Like, because on the men's side, you get a lot of heckling,
yeah.
Right? Like, there's a lot more heckling over there, even though they pretend that they don't.
Probably a little bit more alcohol
involved. Yeah, and over here, there's just a lot of heckling, right? You're heckling the players, that's a part of it. Like, this is just more of a celebration of golf. It's about the golf itself. Yes, there's a home crowd advantage, but... It's, I don't know, like, Hatgate wouldn't have been a thing here, right?
No, I mean, even the two of the superstars in the sport, and Nelly Korda and Charlie Hull, you know, Charlie won 6-4 in their singles match. And
did you see the tweet from Claire Rogers?
Yeah, and there's them sitting next to each other laughing about the tweet of...
So
of
golf,
Charlie Hull smoking a cigarette with a 6-4 logo and Nelly golf, showing it to her.
Golf Digest put out a tremendous graphic of Charlie Hull wins 6-4, and she's just got a heater.
Yeah.
And again, it was a funny graphic, and they were enjoying themselves, and it doesn't seem like it's as contentious as it gets on the men's side. But even the Ryder Cup was marred by money. Right now, everything on the men's side is about money. And we had to deal with the story of Patrick Cantlay. Oh, he's not wearing a hat because of the money. Oh, that's ridiculous. And then we have to have this back and forth. Where's the truth on that? I have no idea. All I know is that was completely believable. And the other thing I know is money for the players was not brought up once this week at the Solheim Cup. It was all about, hey, last year we tied. We want to take care of business on the course. And that's what made it so enjoyable to watch for me.
Yeah, and I will say the camaraderie on the USA side was really fun to see. And, of course, the camaraderie between both teams, to your point, was refreshing. I'm not saying that I don't love a good rivalry and kind of what we have in the men's game for USA versus Europe. I think that's healthy. I think that's what the event is all about. But it also is good to keep that perspective, too, of, you know, they're all just out there to do this for the fans and entertain and not have it be about their egos and whatever else may go into it. And
well, because, again, I keep coming back to the men's side, but I juxtapose Patrick Cantlay in the hat with what we saw from Rory here at Whistling Straits. When he played, he was bad.
Yeah.
Quite possibly his worst Ryder Cup. And he was moved to tears because he felt like he let Shane Lowry down, who's his teammate. He felt like he had let his entire team down. And again, Rory used to be one of the guys where he wanted money, more money, to pay for the Ryder Cup. And then he completely shifted and changed his tune. And you saw how much it meant to him. And I do feel like it's about coming together and representing more than yourself.
Yep.
And the women right now understand that more than the men.
Yeah. Well, the game is so different. I mean,
yeah, it is.
Where we stand in both professional tours is completely different.
Yeah, but again, that's why this event to me was so refreshing.
Yeah. And I think again, to your point about the rise we're seeing in women's athletics with Caitlin Clark and the WNBA and Simone Biles and the Olympics, it's time we start latching on to some of these superstars of women's golf, because I can tell you, I've got a daughter who's 2 years old right now, who one day I would love to take to these tournaments, and maybe she finds somebody that, you know, she can latch on to and want to be like. And it's pretty cool.
Is this something we're hoping we can get here?
Yeah,
I
think next summer is going to be a huge audition for Wisconsin with the U.S. Women's Open at Erin Hills, when you have the best players in the sport here. And if we can show that fans can be there and support this and get behind this, Maybe that opens the door for Whistling Straits or another course, or I don't know. I don't think Erin Hills is probably a Solheim Cup venue, but...
Oh, it could be.
It's so big.
It is so big. That's fine.
When you've got four groups, it's so big.
It is. That's
it's
very
big,
true.
Big property.
It is a big piece of property, but it's a big event because the only other time the women have played a big event here for the U.S. Women's Open was at a course that doesn't really exist anymore, right? And they were able to put together the original championship, but they've made so many changes. Like, I don't think they can do that anymore because on the original championship at Black Wolf, they lifted up the green some 10 feet, so it makes more sense for the actual 10th hole of Meadow Valley. So it's not like you can go, oh, we'll just go back to Black Wolf. That's just not an option anymore, unfortunately. So I think it is a big event, you know, and again, hopefully these women continue to rise and we're going to have a really good U.S. Open here next summer for the women. And I'm hoping that we can maybe attract, because the men's side's all booked up.
Yeah.
Like, we're not getting a U.S. Open. We're not getting, who knows? I mean, a Ryder Cup maybe is possible in like
2040-ish,
2044, 2048.
Yeah.
Who knows? Another 24 years. But the women's side is a lot more open. It's not as planned out. And I think that is where the state of Wisconsin could potentially step in and take advantage and get some big-time tournaments.
A place that comes to mind right away, Century World.
Mm-hmm.
They host a U.S. Senior Open, hard golf course, but a huge risk-reward. It's a volatile golf course.
I just think about moving the tee box up on 17.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How fun that could be. I do love that hole. I do love that hole. It's a great hole up
any
there.
Any other courses you think could host a Solheim Cup? Straits is the obvious one.
Straits is the obvious one because it's done the Ryder Cup. I've often thought about, but I mean, the Solheim Cup is just getting bigger and bigger. So I often think about doing something like at the river, you know, the other, you know, highly regarded, you know, course. I just don't think you'd be able to build out the infrastructure at the river.
Yeah, it's a little too tight.
Yeah, because I think of like hole 8 on the river that the... Literally, the river is right there on your right, and then you have the par 3, and then the other par 5 that's up against the river on the back. Like, you get to that corner of the property, and there's just really no place to put people, which would be a bummer, that you wouldn't be able to really have, you know, matches would more or less go dark for the crowd out there as they go out to this corner of the golf course, then we got to wait for them to come back.
Yeah, I don't even know where you'd put a hole 1 grandstand for river. I don't even know if you can build up on the back of those tee boxes. Because you're right on the river on your left.
Yeah, the river's right there on the left. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to do a horseshoe or anything like that, like they typically like to do around the first tee. So yeah, I mean, those are the courses that I automatically think of.
Yeah,
I don't think you'd be able to do. It'd be too tough to get people to Sand Valley and do anything up there.
Probably too easy of golf courses.
Yeah,
for those players.
Mm-hmm.
Kaisers aren't built to host those types of events.
Yeah,
amateurs and mid-ams, as
certainly.
We're going to see at Lido and. Couple of years, like that's a great setup.
Yeah, and out abandoned, they had the men's amateur out there abandoned.
Yeah,
but yeah, I just when it comes to major championship, I mean we've got three options I think for the women, and I think all three are great options. In Century World, Erin Hills, and Whistling Straits, not bad options certainly. Another not a bad option, Wisconsin Country Club. Steven and I are members out there. Come join us out there if you're looking for a place where. You have a beautiful golf course that's challenging. I love it because I like the practice facility. So if you have a little bit of time, you can stop out there, hit some balls, work on your short game, whatever. But maybe you're somebody who is, you know, wants a little bit something more for the family too. Don't worry. We got pool, tennis, pickleball, theme Sunday fun days at the pool. No assessments ever. No food and beverage minimums as well. Join us at the Wisconsin Country Club. Check it out. TheWisconsinCountryClub.com.
You're listening to On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN.
Talking about the Solheim Cup and a little bit of the Ryder Cup as well, it just got me thinking because this is a popular format for buddies to get together and do their buddies trips around. Or maybe if you're like Stephen and I belong to a club, that your club does one. We've got one at the Wisconsin Country Club coming up Friday and Saturday. We're doing a Ryder Cup format. Handful of guys, I don't know how many have signed up, but, you know, split them, and then you end up having an alt shot match, a two-man best ball match, and then an 18-hole singles match. that happens on Saturday. Or, you know, I participated in one with Ben Brust earlier this year where we did 36 holes in one day. The Writers' Cup is something I've talked about, we've talked about here on this show as well. Illinois media versus Wisconsin media that I was able to participate in last year. You've participated in years past. It's always such a fun format, I think, to participate in with all your friends.
Yeah, it's, depending on the trip and the group, it can be the best format and most enjoyable because it's competitive, it builds camaraderie, it's something that can extend beyond just one day and one round. You know, I'll go on a lot of golf trips and play a lot of rounds with buddies where we're playing Wolf and we're maybe switching up the games, but to have something that might be an entire weekend long or a full trip long, like that, that's the game within the game that I think is what makes buddies trips shine. And I love, and we've talked about it many times on this show, I think alt shot is the best format in all of golf because it tests you in ways that no other format possibly can. It tests your patience. It tests your skill set because you can't do anything but blame yourself because it's how you set your partner up and it's how you get yourself out of situations that maybe you didn't create yourself. And
there's one rule in alt shot, one rule only.
No sorry.
Correct. There's no apologies.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit a bad shot. You're going to hit a bad shot. That's part of the fun. Like part of the fun for me in alt shot is I, especially on the holes, if I hit a good drive, chances are I'm putting my partner in a spot they haven't been before.
You know what's funny about alt shot? I always think of you, Gabe. because we were playing alt shot in the Writers' Cup.
Yeah, in Illinois.
In Illinois. And Gabe stuffed it. 16 inches? I don't even know. It was like
it was more than that. He was a little outside of that.
And he gave me this look. Like he's like, yeah, I just did that. Go finish it. And I walked up and I was like, ah, this is easy. And I missed it.
Yeah. It was just that, because if it was 16 inches, it would have just been a gimme.
Yeah.
So it had been like maybe like 2 feet. And I had confidence because I tell anybody who will listen that Steven is like the best putter I know under 5 feet. So it was a little jarring when you missed it.
It's not fun when people say that about you. And then it's like the broadcaster jinx. It's like, I can't get that out of my own head.
Sure.
The way you hype. Oh, well, Steven, you got that. You don't miss those. Well, now I'm thinking about it. but that's the fun thing about all shot is you have to have the right partner because everybody's going to make mistakes. And likely one partner is going to make more mistakes than the next. And it's how you bounce back together. But there is no worse feeling, I would argue, in this game than letting down your partner.
100%. 100%.
I'll own my own head and whatever goes on in there and hitting bad shots for myself. Even if you have a caddy experience that isn't positive, you still are in control of if you want to listen to that caddy.
Correct.
But when it comes down to a team event, whether it be alt shot,
especially alt shot. Like, and because, I mean, when you're playing four ball, which is, you know, best one of two. Like, I can still, like, if you're not having a good day, like, I might be able to carry you. Like, you're still in control of your own golf ball a little bit, you know? Whereas, you're just, if you're talking about team competitions, the ultimate team competition is alt shot. Because, as we're standing on the tee box, and it's your turn to tee off, I don't have a club in my hand.
Yeah.
I am completely at the mercy of you, which is so cool to me in golf.
Yeah, you're hoping that you don't have to take the club out of your hand if I go OB and we're back on the team. But, you know, it's
your point.
Here's the thing about alt shot. My mom and dad play in an annual alt shot couples event.
Really?
Together, and I go, are you trying to get divorced? How is this healthy for your relationship?
Obviously, it's gone well for them.
Yeah.
It's only strengthened the relationship, strengthened the marriage.
But the best part is I'll get a recap from both of them after to see who played well, who didn't.
And then always you got to parse. Stories. I was about to say, then you got to figure out who's, you know, where the truth lies.
Yeah.
That's on you as the journalist, the big J journalist that you are.
Big J. gosh, I love alt shot. It's so fun. Another alt shot memory that I will always have that also involves you is when we went nine sums in February. At Wisconsin Country Club and did a three-man alt shot, and it got a little out of hand because of stymies and
It did. With the stymies, we took it too far with the stymies. But that was just, but again, that was just a fun format. We had nine guys. We had a free day in February where it was just beautiful where you could play golf.
Yeah.
And nine guys wanted to play. It's not like anybody was on the golf course. And somebody came up with, hey, what if we do three personal shot? Well, that's too much. You're waiting too much. What if we do two alt shot, then one person plays their ball, you combine the scores, and it's just, it took it back to when, to me, when we did that, it took me back to when I was a kid, and you're just kind of making games up when you're out on the golf course.
Yeah, it was truly like backyard golf is what it felt like.
It was fantastic. And that's where, and again, like if you're playing games like Wolf or you're playing a six-man game with a partner just with your buddies on the weekends, you're rotating partners around, or you do a 6-6-6 where you're, you know, everybody plays with everybody type thing. Like that's great, and you're playing for money, which is even better. But like, there's just something about the aspect of the team golf. Like I have no idea at this point. I have not gotten an email who's going to be my team, who my partner is going to be for alternate shot at the club on Friday. Have no idea, Steven. I couldn't be looking more forward to it because there are going to be 11 other guys. Some of them I know, some of them I might not, that are trying to rally together and play team golf to beat the guys on the other side.
Would you rather not know who you're playing with in the sense of guys you don't normally play with, or would you rather be playing with friends?
I'd rather be playing with somebody I know, especially for alt shot.
Because they know your game?
Yeah, because like you they understand, right? Like, so yesterday I was, on Monday, I played a JDRF, Junior Diabetes Research Foundation outing, down in Geneva National, Grand Geneva is where we were at. And the guys that I played with last year, like, I drove the ball. It might have been my best driving day of the year last year.
Ooh.
Like, everything was in, like, because
that'll turn some heads at a golf course.
Oh, yeah. So, like, they were, oh, Gabe, we can't, like, man, I should have said something. We're not with you this year. They were so bummed. Well, who are you guys playing with? We're playing with Steve Bailey, the Marquette coach. So I know of Steve, right? So I did not. So right before we left, Steve Bailey comes up to me, introduces him to myself. Apparently, I got a lot to live up to, Gabe. These guys are talking you up, you know. So I'm just glad though that I wasn't talked up to the team I was currently with, because I almost damn near topped my tee shot on the first hole yesterday. Eventually, we got it straightened out, and we were all fine. But if I had been talked up, like, oh man, this guy, he's just such a good driver of the ball, and then you hit a really bad one, you just feel like you've let everybody down.
Yeah, that reminds me of a fun story too. When my buddy brought two guests out and asked me to play along, and said to his two guests, who are both very good golfers, he said, "This is the best putter I know." What did I do on the first hole?
Four putted. Wait, you four putted at Wisconsin Club?
We don't talk about it. We're done.
Wait, was that better or worse than the first hole you played on tape for our little YouTube video earlier this year?
No, I made a six with a four putt.
Okay.
God, that hole's so easy. Yeah.
As far as greens go at Wisconsin Club, it's pretty innocuous.
Yeah. Well.
But again, that's why I'd rather play with someone I know. Like, if you four putt at a green, I wouldn't be worried. Like, if I'm playing with you and we're playing, like, okay, that's got it out of the system. It's one hole. It's not going to happen again. You know? Whereas now, if you're playing with somebody you don't know, you're kind of, oh, man, now you're in your own head.
Yeah, what are they thinking of me?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't me. How do I prove to them that I'm not this golfer? Yeah.
Which is always a tough spot to be in.
Isn't it so fun? Why do we play this game? It just makes us crazy.
Because it's addicting.
Yeah.
It is like a drug. Speaking of golfers trying to make us believe there's somebody there might not be, Tiger Woods.
Speaking of a golfer and drugs.
Well, I could have done that too, but I didn't want to do that transition. But Steven decided to do it for me. We'll discuss Tiger Woods' latest back surgery. That is coming up next here on the tee. But I do want to tell you about our friends at Erin Hills. Steven and I are going to be out there next week. Cannot wait for it. Golf Digest 10th ranked public course in the nation with charming overnight accommodations and a championship golf experience. Of course, as we discussed earlier in the show, host of the 2025 U.S. Women's Open Championship. Learn more about booking your tee times in 2025 and beyond at erinhills.com.
This is On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN.
Tiger Woods is revered on this program. I think that's safe to say. I mean, I've got...
He's a friend of show, and he doesn't quite know it.
Yeah, he doesn't quite know it. If you can see my phone case here, I'm trying to show it on the camera, is a picture of Tiger Woods with his famous club twirl at the President's Cup. I'm not quite sure of the year. Out in San Francisco, when they played out there, like... I know you have a Tiger Woods hat. I've got a Tiger Woods. We love Tiger Woods. Who doesn't if you're a golf fan, right?
Thought about naming my son Tiger, but didn't.
Did you even approach your wife with that?
No.
One? Okay.
It was a quick thought.
It was a thought that, and then you quickly figured out how that would play out in your mind.
We just opted for no golf names.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So Tiger announced Friday, and really to the shock, nobody knew this was coming. He had a micro decompression surgery of his lumbar spine performed for a nerve impingement of his lower back. So the surgery has already happened. Didn't even, oh, by the way, I'm having surgery. This was after he had the surgery. And he had some back spasms, ended up having to withdraw from his event out in Los Angeles because of the back spasms and because he was a little sick that he experienced throughout the 2024 season. This is his fifth back surgery, Stephen, and it's with TGL actually coming this year. They're not going to have some temporary thing get blown over by, you know, high winds that they happen to have from time to time down in Florida. Looks like it's actually happening. I don't know if he's going to be able to participate because I don't know how long it's going to take him to recover from this because he's had five of these microdiscectomy surgeries.
The face of TGL is not going to play in it, maybe. I mean, that's a pretty shocking development in what is considered by those who have invested in it, marketed it, the guys who are participating in it, as the future of the game and a unique way to build around the next wave of personalities in the sport. But it's still Tiger, who people want to see. And this was the setting that we could truly see Tiger maybe perform as close to what we've seen in years past as possible, because he doesn't have to do the physical labor of walking. And this is a gut punch if he's not participating in this for their debut, which I imagine is only a couple of months away at this point.
TGL, to me, was only, yes, exciting for the reasons you said. We get to see Tiger more often. Not that he would be participating every week, but like the only chance it would have to succeed would be him participating, him playing. So if he is unable to play, I don't know if this has a chance of getting off the ground to get enough eyeballs on it to give it enough life where somebody's going to want to televise it. Because anytime Tiger's on television, you're going to get enough ratings to make something in an experiment like this potentially work. And I will say, I believe Tiger last December when he said he wanted to play. His goal was to play once a month. So I firmly believe that starting in February, he was going to try to play once a month. And he had to withdraw right away from the Genesis Invitational. He had the back spasms. He was sick. And then he started the four majors. So he played five times. That's it. And once he said that, because he had been so careful previously, I thought his body was really going to be ready, and obviously it's not. And this is only going to add more questions. Yes, I'm glad his back is feeling better, just, you know, as an ambassador of golf, that he's able to have, you know, a regular life without the discomfort he was likely experiencing because of his lower back pain. But another back surgery doesn't make me, oh, now this back, so now the pain's gone.
Now we got to figure it out.
Now we're going to be ready to go, because even if he can keep it together for two rounds, the way we've seen him do it at the Masters, his body just can't hold up, man.
Yeah, and I think we've learned that Tiger behind the mic is not exactly enthralling television. So
no, because he's always been.
He's going to probably be there if he can't play, mic'd up so we can see him, but we all want to just watch him swing a club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that's the memories that we have. And golf is always different than every other sport because you have the Champions Tour. So, you know, guys like Stricker, who just won this last week. But even before that, Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, even Phil before he just decided to completely implode his reputation, like when he was going out there and winning on the Champions Tour, it gave, you know, these legends of the game an opportunity to still go out there and play. And I mean, maybe Tiger decides to do that and like John Daly decides to take the cart. I hope he does, because I think if he's taking the cart, we've seen him be able to put together some pretty good swings when he's taking the cart for the PNC Championship when he's playing with Charlie in December. So I hope maybe he does that for selfish reasons, but I have no delusions that he's going to be able to pull this off. I thought that this year, with a couple of the flat golf courses, I thought, oh, maybe, you know, relatively flat golf course at Pinehurst. Maybe he can do something there. Didn't really work. You know, didn't really work out. A place where you have to use your imagination more. And his body just, even though his mind is obviously still very sharp and ready for the game, the body's just not able to keep up and do the things he wants it to be able to do.
So Jupiter Links Golf Club takes a big hit if Tiger can't play.
Because that team stinks. P.U.
So it's him, Max Homa, Tom Kim, and Kevin Kisner. So for our Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All pick, is there anybody who can save that roster who's not currently in TGL? And I'm happy to go through the teams real quick to give you a refresher if you need it. For our listeners, let's just run through it real quick.
Wait. So let me get this straight. So, I mean, really the only one who's playing well on Jupiter Links is Tom Kim. Because Max just missed another cut.
Yeah.
And Kisner's year went so bad, like he's in the booth now at NBC.
There's one name that's missing from TGL, and we don't really know why outside. He's made a couple of comments about just wanting to be a dad and a little more time off. But it's Jordan Spieth. So that would probably be my Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All pick, just to get Jordan in on the mix. But he's probably the biggest name, but talking about a team who would get worse with Jordan on their roster right now, it's probably them. He stinks, too.
But he can't play right now either. He's coming off surgery, too.
That's right. He had surgery on his wrist.
He had wrist surgery. Who knows when he's going to be able to play
again? The whole
again.
Team has been eliminated. They're on the IL. The Atlanta Drive is Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay, Billy Horschel, and Lucas Glover. The Boston Common Golf team is Rory McIlroy, Hideki Matsuyama, Keegan Bradley, and Adam Scott. Jupiter, I just mentioned.
Yep.
The LA Golf Club is Colin Morikawa, Sahith Theegala, Justin Rose, and Tommy Fleetwood.
That's the best team.
That's a good team. New York Golf Club, Matt Fitzpatrick, Ricky Fowler, Xander Schauffele, and Cameron Young. And the Bay Golf Club is Ludwig Oberg, Wyndham Clark, Minwoo Lee, and Shane Lowry. So a notable name that I don't see on here, Jason Day.
Okay.
Would be somebody.
I mean, there's nobody saved that team.
No, it's Tiger effing Woods.
Yeah. Again, and the closest you can get.
They might need a name.
Well, that's Jordan. Jordan would. Well, I mean, if you need a name, if you want eyeballs to watch it, there's one name. It's not possible, but there's one name that you could put on that team. No, not even Bryson. If you're looking for the biggest name you could put there, that would make this most interesting.
Phil?
It's Phil. I mean, obviously it's not going to happen because this is like a PGA Tour sanctioned thing and they're not going to let live guys in. But Phil would be the most fascinating person you could put there.
Mainly because he would be incredible television.
Yeah, that's...
You're building around personalities.
Every time they've done the match, the ones that Phil participates in are the best. Aside from the first one he did with Tiger. But he even understood that they were putting on a show then, right? And the show ended up coming up flat, but I remember he gave Tiger like an 8-footer when they were doing their playoff holes, teeing off from the putting green near the clubhouse to whatever green they were hitting to, because he didn't want Tiger to miss an 8-footer and win because Tiger missed a putt. Like, he wanted to win, he wanted people to feel like they got a winner, so he just gave that putt so they played another hole. Like, and Phil, like when he's been playing with Bryson, hey, why do you do this? Explain this. Do this. And is able to... It's why people thought Phil would be a great broadcaster before he did went over to live and again.
Still might be one day.
He's got a lot of...
Yeah.
He made things harder for himself. Not just by going to live, because we've seen... Again, Dustin Johnson didn't completely implode his reputation, but Phil did because Phil couldn't stop talking. Which is, again, why Phil's fascinating. But anytime we've done these major events, Phil's been the best part of them at all because he understands hey, this is what the viewer probably wants. Here's how I do this. Maybe you could incorporate this into your game at home.
I've got the answer.
Charlie? Oh, Charles Barkley. I think you say Charlie Woods.
Oh. He personality's not there.
Correct. Yeah.
Put Chuck.
Oh, God. But now you got to give. Now you got to start giving strokes. Now we're getting. Now we're giving strokes in simulator golf.
For pure entertainment purposes.
Maybe, yeah, but
maybe Charlie.
I hope that this allows him to play more. I really do, because nothing would make me happier than Tiger Woods recapturing the magic at some random PGA Tour event that he's able to play. So he has the all-time record. So he can just say, "Hey, I've got this." All-time record, because he's not winning four more majors to ever pass Jack. It's just never happening. And I don't think he ever wins again. I never thought I'd find myself saying that. But it's just so obvious that his body can't withstand it.
I just realized I listed all those names and didn't mention the fact that Scottie Scheffler is not in TGL right now. So that is probably your answer.
Yeah, but he's boring.
He's the number one golfer in the world.
Yeah, but I feel like for simulator golf, and as cool as this thing looks, and the Golfers Journal did a really good kind of a dive into what this could look like, it's going to be, I think it's just for the technology alone.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty cool to tune in and see.
And for the betting. That's really what it's designed for.
But I think that when the golf course isn't full, and you can't just jump from match to match to match, it's just one thing on your television at that time. You need guys who can entertain. You need guys who are personalities. And unfortunately, the game of golf,
that team
kind of missing those.
That team already has Homa, which is why I feel like you can get away with a Scheffler and Tom Kim. They have Homa and Tom Kim.
Yeah. Should be able to carry the day, you would think.
Flip Tiger for Scotty.
Again, it'd be an upgrade from a golf perspective. You know how much we love our friends over at Wisconsin Golf Trips. They present the show each and every week. Main business for Wisconsin Golf Trips and our buddy Jason, booking groups from around the world to play all the great courses in our state. But they also do great outbound trips here to places like Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, and custom packages if you want to do that Big Buddies trip to Scotland and Ireland. It's a one-stop shop for your next golf getaway. Handles all the tee times, lodging, other logistics, plus transportation, even dinner reservations. Jason has developed great relationships to make sure that your next golf trip is an unforgettable one. Make your golf trips a hole-in-one with Wisconsin Golf Trips. We will give a team MVP. Who is the MVP of the Solheim Cup? Do that coming up next on the team.
Four, it's On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN.
On the Tee, and last week we enjoyed our experience out at the Bog. 18 unforgettable holes, 250 acres of natural private land. The Bog provides the ultimate golf experience. To book your next tee time, call 262-284-7075 or visit golfthebog.com. Enjoy golf. Enjoy the Bog. Quick little news that came across yesterday. The Masters and CBS expanding television coverage next year by 5 hours. But you're not going to be happy where 4 of those 5 hours are going to be spent. They're going to be streamed exclusively on Paramount Plus, which
get those
is the
subscriptions in. Now.
Yep. So from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time on Saturday and Sunday, the exclusive home of the Masters will be Paramount Plus. They are adding, though, 1 hour to Saturday's coverage. So Saturday's coverage will start on CBS an hour earlier.
The most perfect viewing experience is getting more perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, again, so you're not really missing that much.
Yeah.
Again, if like Tiger happens to be out because, you know, he barely made the cut again, you're going to miss a little bit of that if you don't have Paramount Plus. But you will still between 1 and 6 be able to watch on CBS on Saturday. So you're still getting really good, again, experience. And they're not changing anything. Still only 4 hours or 4 minutes of commercial per hour during the Masters. All right, Stephen, I think this is pretty easy. But we were talking about the Solheim Cup earlier. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. Team MVP for the Solheim Cup.
Well, I think based on statistics, it's Rose Zhang that you already detailed earlier in the show. Based on stories, it's Lauren Coughlin in my mind. It's one of the great reminders of why this game is special. She's 31 years old.
Which is ancient in the women's game. Like, no offense to, because 31 is young in everybody years, but when you consider that, like, Rose has been this phenom since, you know, whatever age, when you figure that Lexi, who she played with, who Lauren Coughlin played with, Lexi made her first U.S. Open at 14?
She's retiring 12? At 29.
Yeah.
Lauren's career is booming and blossoming at 31. That's so cool, right? Like, it reminds me of the Lucas Glover story from last golf season when he went on his tear, and we were talking about him maybe making a Ryder Cup, and he was flirting with 50 at that point. And what we see Stricker still do at his age and compete in some tournaments. Bernard Langer, right? I mean, he's gone out there and competed at the Masters in the last 5 years at his age. I think that... It doesn't. This game rewards you in different ways, and for some, it's come naturally as teenage sensations, and they were just gifted. For others, they've grinded, and I love stories like Max Homa and Tony Finau and Lauren Coughlin. Like, those are the stories that, you know, for somebody like me, like I've gotten better the older I've gotten, and that's because my passion has grown and my dedication and focus into just golf has, you know, gotten more intense as versus other activities that I spend my time doing. But I think the energy she brings, the personality, her perspective, the way that she interacted with the girls, just watching her on TV and following her on social media, she gets it. And almost all of the players on that USA roster, and you can even say Europe, get it. We talked about that earlier, but I just love how at this point in her career, she's been working so hard to get to this point to just be have some sort of sustained success, and now she's a superstar overnight.
Won twice, had a couple opportunities at some major championships this year, and that's, I think, her story is always one of why we love the game. Like, yeah, you said, not everybody's Tiger or Scotty or, you know, even Ludwig, you know, who is still so young in his career, didn't have to grind his way through the mini tours the way that Lauren did. She walked on at the University of Virginia and then had to grind. Got her card, lost her card, had temporary status. And even in an interview, I heard her say earlier this year, she was thinking about making cuts because that's the point where she was at her career. Okay, I got to make sure I make this cut. Got to make sure. And the way her career just blossomed. Yeah, I think she really appreciated the opportunity. And not only that, she came through 3-0-1 as a rookie.
Yeah. And started 3-0.
Yeah. Made a putt on 17 that ended up clinching a half point for Team USA that got them very close to the Solheim Cup as well. So many things still going on in the world of golf. Stephen and I are going to be at Erin Hills next week. A lot of fun things that we're going to be talking about, I'm sure, around that trip to one of our favorite places. A
couple of big announcements coming next week.
Yeah, so make sure you stay tuned. I'm sure we'll talk about them next week right here on the team.